What's up, Familia? It's Dayspring here with an episode of Power of X-Men, one that I've been dying to do. I know, did you see what I did there? Our guest is hiding behind his hands now. We have one of my favorite human beings on the planet here. We have Age of Dazzler himself. Wait, it's so odd because I'm going to call you Michael.
That's my name.
But we don't have a mutant name for you. One of the things that we do on the podcast, we ask people to choose a mutant name. So it's just so weird to be like, hey, Michael. And like, it's like, say, Paul. It's like, hey, Paul. And you're like, yeah.
Maybe you can make a vote or a poll out of it or something. I don't know. What should I be called?
I don't. Yeah, gosh. The light. The light god. Something like that.
I don't know. Whatever y'all think works for me. You can come up with it. I'm not picky.
How are you? What's going on?
I'm well. Life is good. Back to Maine after seeing the real Dazzler in real life in Las Vegas, as you know. Mm-hmm. And for those of you who don't know who that is, although you should, it is Ms. Kylie Minogue. That is right. The goddess, the magical creature who blesses us on this earth.
Well, and you were at the performance, a very special performance,
yeah.
Because my other favorite person on the face of the planet was there, Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Her too, the night before is her birthday, the night before.
I'm just kidding, Flink. I love you so much, Flink. You and Flink were, of course, at Kylie together.
Yes, we were.
Was it
coincidentally
fun?
Yeah, I think it was all meant to be, because that ticket situation... Woo! It was a miracle to pull off getting tickets and tables to that event. It sold out within minutes. The website was crashing for hours and people were stuck in the queue. It's kind of like San Diego Comic-Con, but worse. But just, you know, magic shone down upon us and we were able to get tickets for tables. So same night, and I could see him from afar. So he told me that he had just picked up a gold sequined, like... country western tassel-y whatever number, and I was looking and I saw him and I ran down and said hi. We had some photos, chatted and hugged, so it was great.
All right, so for the Familia at home may be unaware that Kylie amongst Dazzler fans is sort of the definitive Dazzler casting. And now listen, we're not here to start an argument, we're not here to have a civil war.
No.
You know, there are the rumors that Taylor Swift could possibly be Dazzler, yeah. In Deadpool 3. I am not a Taylor Swift fan, and Swifties out there, do not come for me. I respect
canceled.
Taylor Swift. I know. Well, the Chris Evans stands, the Taylor Swift fans, mm-hmm. they all come after us here. But listen, I like
for
Taylor
sure.
Swift, but I was never a huge fan until I saw the power of someone like Taylor Swift when I went to go see the concert movie with my nieces.
Mm-hmm. Eras Tour, yes.
So now my question for you is, mm-hmm. would you be okay if we get a gag cameo of Taylor Swift as Dazzler in Deadpool 3? And I got to tell you, because on my end, I'm like the most popular, most famous, most successful woman on the face of the earth is going to play Alison Blair. Yeah, sign me up. Do it. And by the way, it's a multiverse, so it could always be recasted later on.
Yes.
Would you, you're in Deadpool 3, it's already, I'm forgetting when Deadpool 3 is supposed to come out. Let's say September. It's Deadpool 3, September. You're sitting there. You're surprised. Taylor Swift as Dazzler. What is your reaction?
I have come to terms with it, and I'm officially okay with it. Because kind of, you know, what you said, Paul. At first, I was like, well, I'm not a huge Taylor Swift fan. I respect her as an artist, as a songwriter, as a human being, as a great boss. As, you know, she's great to her people and her fans. I don't love her singing, but I do have one of her albums and I do like her. So when I think about Dazzler, I don't think about Taylor Swift. No offense taken, you know, like you said. However, she is the most famous person in all of the galaxy right now. And to bring that kind of attention to the character of Dazzler is always a good thing. So I will take it as that.
I mean, listen, our alternative is Halston Sage. That's all I can say.
And I liked her. She's really cute. If you ever saw her in the Orville, she's really plucky and cute. And when she, so I knew she was cast for a long time before it came out, and I can't reveal my
Really?
sources. I did. And then it kept getting delayed and delayed. And I'm like, oh my God, she could end up on the cutting room floor, and I still have this knowledge. She didn't. I think some of her dialogue did, though. But I think she actually would have been really good. Having more to
Listen,
do as Dazzler. She's so cute.
House of Sage, I know you listen to this podcast weekly. Answer our emails via your publicist. We want you on here so we can talk
Her.
about Dark
Yes.
Phoenix, who's been
Yes, let's
ignoring
get
us since
her.
2020 when her publicist was like, oh, Halston would love to do it, but she's really busy. I'm like, with what? I can see her IMDb.
She was filming in the works. Come on,
That's
in
fine.
development.
So I want to ask because I mean I love Dazzler. I'm a huge Dazzler fan. I'm not that invested in casting or who should play her versus, very diehard, fans of a certain character. Like with Jean, I will have opinions on Jean till like
Yes.
5 in the morning.
Yes.
I'm going to ask you a twofold question. One, is Kylie aware of Dazzler? Does she know the character Dazzler exists? And two, if you can't have Kylie, who would you have? Who would be your
God.
dream casting? I
You're
know.
gonna make me cough laugh figuring this one out. So, to preface this, although I am a gigantic Dazzler fan, I have never been one who's super like rah, or yeah on casting for her. Like, I'm not aggressive about it. Some people are like, absolutely not. No, it has to be this. No, I can go with the flow. If it's a good actress, acting comes first in my book. And if they can sing or maybe lip sync well, I need depth. I need a good actress. That's where it really lands for me. So is Kylie aware? So I tried my best at the concert, at the show. I was holding up. I had a vinyl album cover I had made to give to her at her show because it is that intimate. You get that close to Kylie. And I couldn't get quite close enough. I was holding it up, but she definitely saw it several times. And it was a riff on the Tension album cover. But instead, I had a commission done by Art of Lucas that we all know and love on this
We love Art of
podcast.
Lucas so much. Shout
Yes,
out. And Art of Lucas
absolutely.
listens to the episode. So shout out
Good.
to Art of Lucas.
Good.
Go to his store, get all the teas there. Such a
Yes.
talented human being. Love
He
Art of Lucas
is.
so much.
He is. So I had that custom made, and I'm like, oh, I'll get a vinyl cover. I'll bring it to the concert. And I did. And I did get confirmation that it made it to her from her people. I didn't get to hand it to her. I left it with the staff. I got an email saying it made it to her. So I think she knows now, or she didn't before. I don't, until I see like a picture of her with it, I'm
But
not
you would think,
certain.
though, her publicist or manager or
Yeah.
someone has her on notifications for the Googles
Somewhere.
and would see that, like,
Yes.
hey, when it comes to Marvel,
Yeah.
you are being fan casted as a one Alison Blair. I hope
Yeah.
she does know. Okay.
I and even if she doesn't, it may even be more magical because she just is, without
She
even
just
knowing
is.
about it. She just is.
So just
Come on, that's
nebulous right now.
amazing.
We don't know if she knows
Yeah.
or not. Okay. We
No.
don't
Oh.
know if she knows that we know she knows,
But
is
I
what we're saying.
know.
But you
That's
know
right. I know
that
in
she
my
knows
heart of hearts. That's
because you
right.
gave that to her.
I did. I did. And then
Okay.
part number B, A, B,
B.
C, B. So if I,
Question B on that.
the big question, and I get on the spot with this and I can never answer it. So, because it ebbs and flows. So a couple of people, I actually think, so I don't know if she can sing, but another Australian, Samara Weaving.
Oh,
I think she'd be
yeah.
great. The big
You're
blue eyes.
absolutely
And
right.
she's very, I've seen her in a few things, and she can really kick some ass. Am I
Yeah.
bleeped? Can we swear here?
You can swear as much as you want. I
F. So, I really
swear
like
like
her
every day
aura.
on this podcast.
Good,
Go for
good. And you don't censor yourself, so there you go, because you're in
it.
charge. So
That's
I
right.
really like Samara Weaving, and of course, there's another common one that everyone says will never happen. Margot Robbie wouldn't be so shabby as the Dazzler either, but she's clearly busy and
Oh,
taken
she's
with
very
everything
busy.
else. Yeah, this won't
That's
happen.
really interesting because She was rumored for, so initially when Margot Robbie talking to, Kevin Feige came out, it was that she was talking for the role of Emma Frost. That's what everyone was saying on the back end, that she was going to be Emma. And then, of course, a massive rumor was that she was up for Sue in Fantastic Four. I think Dazzler was something I never really thought about, but again, she has the acting chops for it. I mean, from Harley Quinn to Barbie. And I, Tonya, I loved her in I, Tonya quite a
Me
bit.
too.
Yeah. I'm not so precious with casting, to be honest with you. I think much like you, I'm in your camp where I'm like a couple, I could be open-hearted to anyone. However, I am with the MCU in the state that it is right now. I would have to check some receipts. I would have to just check some of them because a lot of things aren't landing. So with someone like Jean is really the only one I can. Jean, maybe Cyclops would be the only ones I would be precious about for my casting. And Emma, of course. And Storm. Oh my God, Storm 100%.
Storm, yeah. Powerful, powerful person we need in that role.
Oh
Yeah,
God,
I
I know
think
I want Storm. I wanted Storm to be the first X-Men in the MCU. Instead, we got Beast. We
I
got
would be
Beast.
totally on board with that.
So we got Beast. Well, I mean,
The
technically
worst.
Xavier, but you know what
Everyone
I
hates
mean.
him, but I sure do. I think my other part about so my real answer here, do you like how I just keep going back to this?
I know,
Is that
we're peeling back the onion
I
here.
know.
I'm
So the
obsessed.
my real answer is that I think to go along with what Alison Blair herself would want, she would want an up-and-coming not name actress to land the part. She would want this to be someone's big break, someone to be all in, someone we didn't know, we didn't associate with really anything else, to be their big break because she was always working for that. So
She
I
was
think
working
that
for that
would
paper. Yeah.
that's the
So
right
she's
answer. If
right
anyone
there.
read Dazzler, the series, the solo series, they would know that.
Well, I mean, the one thing that I've always really appreciated about the MCU with their casting was, well, I don't want to say like Scarlett Johansson and Chris Evans were unknowns because they certainly had a career. However, they were not the A-list action heroes that there were. Robert Downey Jr. was down on his luck very infamously. So I would love them to just take a risk with casting and not sort of
Me
where
too.
we're at right now in the MCU, where are you a big
Agreed.
name? Are you Margot Robbie? Come on in and audition for this role. It's like, eh.
And
Okay.
they didn't need that to get to really the movie that started it all was the first X-Men movie, right? Like comic
Yeah.
movies were dead for many years because they kept flopping over and over and over. And if not for the first X-Men movie, we wouldn't be where we are. And there was a lot of casting in that that were not. Was anyone a household name in that movie? I don't think. I mean, maybe Halle
Holly
Berry-ish.
Berry, yeah, it was before her Oscar, but yeah, Holly Berry, I mean, I would say, well, Patrick
Oh,
Stewart,
of course.
yeah,
Yes,
Patrick Stewart,
of
Ian
course.
McKellen, but out of like the, active X-Men on the field, I think James Marsden had something. Famke was in James Bond.
She
Ray Parker
was.
was in
She
Star
was.
Wars. Yeah,
Go ahead.
so they were decent, but no, they did not have the level of fame that now we regard them
Like,
with, to
now
your
we want
point.
like a Tom Cruise for
Yeah.
every casting choice in every
Yeah,
MCU movie. And it's like, that's not going to
exactly.
happen, folks. We don't
It's
want that.
easy now to look back and be like, oh yeah, they were famous back then. And it's like, well, they were famous, but they weren't as famous
No,
as we conceptualize them now, obviously. But okay, well, Mike, we are here to talk about Dazzler in the Age of Krakoa, the
We
Age of
are.
Dazzler and Age of Krakoa. And I have to be very honest with you. Flink and I talk about this all the time. I find it such a missed opportunity how they've managed her as an IP. In general, the one thing Dazzler stands, and we talk about this all the time on the podcast, you guys get fucked over. It does not make any sense.
Yes, we do.
Do you remember? Let me paint the scenario for you. 2013, Bendis, Uncanny X-Men, Dazzler, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., that white costume looks incredible. What happens at the end of that? Fucking Mystique comes in, takes her place, knocks her out, takes her place, and then we get that horrific haircut again of her.
First day at work, everybody. First
Yeah.
day on the job, taken out by what? A bad cup of poisoned coffee. Not okay. I know. And we came from such a high point with Dazzler from her being a leader in Extreme X-Men all over the multiverse, taking charge, making decisions to kill evil Xavier as you're out in the multiverse. And then she comes back, and then that happens. It's like, that's
Agreed.
great. Let's build this character up. And Greg Pak did an incredible job. I mean, if I had to pick my definitive, this is like defining Alison Blair, I would choose Extreme X-Men because he took everything that had come before, and she still had a little insecurity there, but she's still jokey and a little sassy. But she took charge when she needed to. She had insecurities about it. She had her team. They backed her up. She backed them up, and she just did what she needed to do. And it was incredible. And even Wolverine gave her credit at the end, like the real Logan. And he was always busting her chops before that. So that said something.
Yeah, Extreme X-Men Volume 2, not Volume 1, written by Chris Claremont, the one where
Yes.
Storm
Yes.
and Rogue and Sage are all in search of Destiny's Diaries. We had in the mid 2000s a title focused solely on Dazzler being, a reality hopping hero with a Wolverine, a James Howlett, and a Hercules, and their
So
goal was
good.
to go kill off Xavier's evil
That's right.
Xavier's across the multiverse. It was such a good, fun book, and they
Random.
participated in a big crossover. Oh God, I always get the crossover confused with exterminating.
Extermination, because
It's
there's so many
extermination, yeah,
exterminate somethings. Yes.
because we have the one with the 05 later on, which is
Right.
also like exterminate or exterminate it
Yes.
or extermination. I remember thinking that Dazzler does not get enough great panel time multiple times throughout the last 20 years because I think I can count it on my hand. One, it was the Sisterhood arc during Utopia where she's here like, yeah,
Hell yeah, blood
hell
off your face,
yeah,
Psylocke,
and
metal
then
to
like
your face.
that.
Oops.
And I remember I thought I liked that, but Flink didn't like that scene. Flink was like,
Yeah.
she would never do that to her friend.
That's true. That's a good
I mean,
point. She
but I
has too
did.
much control to do that, yes.
But that is one of the rare moments where I thought like Greg Land's art and Matt Fraction's writing really aligned itself because Dazzler's like this. She goes, baby girl, do you hear that? The symphony. And she goes, yeah, hell yeah. And she does that.
Yeah.
The other would be the Lois London book for Necrotia, right? Or
Yeah, the
Dazzler,
one
what?
shot. Yeah,
The one
it was
shot. It was a
Dazzler one
Dazzler one
shot.
shot that focused on her relationship. And that was a fun book. And it went nowhere. And Jim McCann,
So
who
good.
he was such a good, although, I mean,
He's a
Alti.
friend. He's the sweetest man,
Yeah.
like one of the sweetest people in the universe. He really is.
Oh, we have to have him on the podcast. Alti, I used to work with Ben Morse at Wizard. We were at Wizard, and we got into a fight with Jim McCann because we said Nate Gray was an X-Man, and Jim refused to believe it. So.
Oh my God, I cannot picture any aggression coming out of Jim. He's so soft-spoken and calm and kind
Nate
and sweet.
Gray has that effect on people. Nate Gray has that
Whoosh,
effect on
yeah,
people. No,
polarizing.
he was really great to me, especially when I was starting off early on in my career. But so we had the Lois London Dazzler story, and then we had Extreme X-Men, and then we had everything going on with Bendis. And then we get into the Krakoan era. Am I right? Did we have anything in the interim
We
for her?
did.
What did we
We
have?
did.
Remind
So
me.
we had another big buildup. So here we go. This is what happens to Dazzler. There's always
Ball
like,
starts.
oh, she's coming back. It's a big deal. Like Astonishing X-Men. Remember that arc, the end of Astonishing X-Men? It was her, Beast, Havoc, Banshee, and Warpath. And if you haven't read it,
Oh,
you should. It's cool. And Greg Land
yeah.
drew it. It was pretty, and Greg, I will
Oh,
say, people
wow.
bust his chops. They're really tough on him, and I get why, but he did a really good job with this.
Marjorie Liu was the writer for it, right?
I think it was Hickman or someone right before him. I have to grab.
Oh, it
It's
was
somewhere.
Matt Rosenberg. Matt Rosenberg.
Yes, that's exactly
But
what it was. Yes,
yeah, it
because I
would be
met him
Matt
and I thanked
Rosenberg.
him and he signed it. Yes.
Well, yes,
Woo!
Rosenberg, yeah.
I did.
That's okay.
So if you haven't read that, it's a really cool self-contained arc, basically. I think it starts with issue 14 or 13 and ends with 17. And then the series ended because then we got basically Jean was back and it was around the time of Red X-Men. And it's like, okay, Jean's going to be like it in charge. They literally had the art with everyone coming back. It was like Jean, Storm, Rogue. Havoc,
Center. Yeah.
Dazzler, everyone right in the front, and then Firestar up, and everyone, and then that whole it all got blown apart very
Yeah.
shortly after. I'm like, why did they set this up for such greatness? And then, Gone.
So what happened on the back end was that Uncanny X-Men Disassembled was supposed to be
That
a
happened, yes.
placeholder for, or I'm sorry, Age of X-Men was supposed to be,
Ah,
which is
that's what
synonymous here.
happened next. You're right,
It
yes.
was supposed to be a placeholder for Hickman. And what happened was the Hickman era, Krakoa era, was supposed to begin, but it kept getting pushed back, big get pushed back. So you got a lot of these filler stories. So that's why that era is a little discombobulated. But
Very.
I got to tell you, one of the things that I was so excited about in the Krakoan era, where you're going to tell me the mutants are establishing themselves as a world power, as their own nation, what is the one thing you think that they would have? Is culture, music. Who would be perfect, a perfect ambassador in
Yes.
this new world?
Yes. Yeah. It would be Miss
Fucking
Alexa
Allison
Blair.
Blair. And she would go on tour and people would love her because she is the underdog mutant coming from this mutant nation. And they did our girl dirty. And I'll tell you, I'll
Lounge
never.
singer dirty.
Lounge.
Yes.
Oh,
That's
I am
all she
so
did.
glad you said lounge singer because she's supposed to be at a Kylie Gaga, whatever level. She's supposed to be
Yes.
internationally renowned.
Yes.
And yet,
Yes.
a couple hours before the Hellfire Gala, she is at the Green Lagoon bar singing. No. Dazzler would be meeting with her publicist, with her manager. She would
Yes.
be doing a dress rehearsal.
Yes.
Not
Yes.
some
Yes,
lounge
she
singer.
would.
And she would not
No.
be, she would be your focus of the Hellfire Gala. Not something like drunk memory of, I don't know. It
Yes, agree.
Mike, it boils my blood.
How do you think I feel? The Dazzler, big Dazzler fans feel. Yeah. So what I was hoping when that era started, when we still have it technically for a few more months, but when Krakoa era started, I was hoping it would be more like, and people love this era or they hate it. I really enjoyed the Utopia days. Most
Okay.
of them, up until those kind of fell apart too, as they all seem to. I liked the balance of the mix that she had in particular because she was doing her stuff in San Fran. She was doing gigs, she was doing shows. She'd come back and do a little hero when they needed her help, or she'd be stuck in the city when they needed her help. And she can go back and forth. That's what she would ideally be doing. Why couldn't she be doing that in Krakoa? Oh, no. She's going to be lounge singing in the bar, making one really bad romantic choice in Way of X, and, which made zero sense for a character. And that was really all she was doing. We had that moment in X Factor 9 or 10 where Shatterstar was about to ask her or tell her who he was. And then he's like, oh, never mind. And she's like, yeah, I got to go to the gala. What? Hello? I know that was set up, but can we have some follow through with some of these stories? Something.
It
Not
boils
cool.
my blood. Wait, can you, off the top of your head, explain the Shatterstar, Longshot, and Dazzler
Kind
relationship?
of.
All
Kind
right, go
of.
for
I
it.
may
Go
miss
for
it. I
it.
miss it. Okay. So, there,
And I'm only
Shatterstar
asking because
is.
Familia at home, we are
Yes.
both drinking. So I'm putting Mike
Again!
on.
No,
This is
I'm.
how you know if you're sober or not.
Okay, so what happened was, I'm not going to do all the context because that will make it even more confusing. So the long and the short of it is that Longshot and Dazzler conceived, and they conceived a child, and the baby boy is Shatterstar. However, he was taken away by Richter and Longshot. Allison and Longshot were mind wiped, so they don't know. But that's not the weird part, folks. The weirdest part is that Longshot was actually cloned. See the circle? Was actually cloned from his son Shatterstar. I think that's how it goes.
And then he comes to 616 and hooks up with Dazzler and impregnates her with basically the clone impregnates Dazzler with the
Grandfather? I don't know. The
grandfather,
clone dad? I
the
don't
base,
know.
something like
Hot
that.
mess. Hot
But
mess.
this is why
Nobody
we love the X-Men.
knows.
No one knows.
Yes.
No one knows.
And this is why we joke that Allison needs a new OBGYN.
But
Because they should tell her something's not right. She missed something. Yeah.
when I think about also like the Hellfire Gala this year and sort of the setup
Oh no! I
to
really need a
it,
big drink for this
take
one.
a sip. Oh my God, drink it. Sip it, bro. Yes, I'm going to take a sip too because I think we got the tea early on. Now that we're a couple months removed,
Yes.
there was going to, all of them are winners.
Shit was going down. Everyone's dying.
Yeah, and that it was going to be this dystopian situation. So I was like, okay, so even if Dazzler gets,
here we go again.
You know, and by the way, the X-Men vote, it was so incredibly upsetting this year because I was just tired of, like, these votes are inconsequential.
Yes,
right? Like,
it
doesn't do anything. Polaris, I guess you can argue that Polaris and Firestar have had really nice moments in the Krakoan age. Like a year later, after the fact, after no one even remembers they were up for election.
Right.
But, you know, with, like, Allison, I just remember thinking, like, you can't do that. Like, you can't put her on there and then, like, that's it. Nimrod's going to come in and, like, massacre everyone. That doesn't make sense because, one, Dazzler is supposed to be immortal.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. And you're not going to tell me. I'm sorry. Listen, I have no... I'm only speaking on my behalf. I'm not speaking on you. Jerry Duggan, I can never pronounce his last name correctly. Does not, I'm sorry, not the best X-Men writer out there. And it is a lack of respect for fans. This is one thing I am telling you that I am tired of. Michael, I am tired of continuity being ignored. Because, by the way, you can tell a really good story of Nimrod killing Dazzler, even though she's immortal. You know what I mean? Like, how would Nimrod do that? Same with, by the way, the other mutant who shouldn't have died there that day was Sam Guthrie.
Uh-huh.
AKA Cannonball.
He has only legs left. That's right.
He's immortal. He's immortal, A. But B, when he is fired up, he's supposed to be invulnerable. That is his thing. That's his thing. But that's fine. Show this team putting up a fight and they lose. They can still lose. They can still die. But show them doing a fight. It was embarrassing how they did that.
And they made Jubilee look really stupid too. Oh look, I'm shooting star. It's a good sign.
Thank you so much for saying that. And you know, I have talked about this because there's a lot of, and like, by the way, I want to wrangle myself in here because we have a lot of people in the Familia here that enjoyed this issue of the Hellfire Club gala. Good. I'm so glad. But I do think a team member like Jubilee, who is seasoned, who's been on Generation X, who's been a vampire, who was there when Illyana died, who is a very focal point for the X-Men, would not look up and be exactly what it says, oh, look, a shooting star, durr, and they get stomped on. Oh, my God.
And why was there no sonic boom? Would there not have been a sonic boom from the speed at which Nimrod was coming down?
We're on the same page.
Jean didn't sense anything. Like, telekinetic. You would feel the movement in everything happening. She would have felt that.
Because we also know that Jean, with a fork, can feel the movement of a fork. I mean, that's how sensitive her telekinesis is. But that requires, not to be an asshole, but this requires for people to love the characters and love the stories in the way that we love them.
Yes,
and again, if you don't want to follow up on some of these continuities that you do, that's fine, but don't put it out there. That's always going to be my grievance.
Exactly.
And so my thing with Dazzler that I've been harping on for months has been, she shouldn't die. She should have been immortal. There's that fan art. Do you know who did the fan art where she's like dead and then her eyes light up and she's like, oh.
Oh, of course I do. It's Daniel McNee, who is Magna Florius on Instagram, who, amazing artist. Amazing. Loves Dazzler, has always loved her, and yes, his art is beyond incredible. And his art even made it into the Domino, like the letters page of the Domino comic that was out several years ago that Gail Simone wrote.
Oh, yeah.
He did like a pinup cover with Dazzler with a really cool design in Domino, and that made it in the back of the comic.
Oh, I love that. That's incredible.
Yes, it is. So shout out to Dan. He's awesome.
We love you, Dan.
Yes.
So what was your initial reaction when you picked up that Hellfire Club or Gala, issue? And then you see the entire team assembled, Dazzler's there, and then dead.
Yeah. So I'm not impressed. I'll fully say. Now, I didn't like hate the entire issue. Like I realized that they wanted to show that there's consequences here and everything has been destroyed and maybe they didn't see some of the warning signs that maybe they should have seen. Okay, I get that. However, I still feel like there were many plot holes with how everything was destroyed. But regarding Dazzler, yeah, I same feeling you did. I'm like, oh, here's this great page. The whole team that we actually really wanted. Like everyone seemed really excited and kind of upset that that was the team that we were voting because wouldn't that be a great team in and of itself?
Yeah.
Well, the joke was on us, wasn't it? So flip the page, everything's Red Slaughter. Like, oh
Oh,
my God.
in such a
Oh my God.
grotesque way. And I'm not precious about things like that. I can
Sure,
see my favorite
sure,
characters being slaughtered, but
sure.
I think there's a
Too
difference
much.
between good storytelling and like gore porn, right? And gore porn you're okay with if it's like a horror movie, it's D-list, but this is like your premiere A book of the year. Everyone's going to be reading the Hellfire Gala. No, sorry.
Like the head pops to like Frenzy's head gone. First of all, that wouldn't happen to her.
No, Frenzy, you know what
She's
Frenzy would have talked
invulnerable.
about?
Yes!
Yeah, she would
She would
have
have grabbed
grabbed him
him.
like that, and it would have been a
Yeah.
sonic boom. That's where the sonic boom would
Yes.
have come in
That's right. She'd have
because
grabbed him.
it would have reverberated. She would have stopped him midair. Frenzy would have done that. That's just, listen,
Absolutely.
it's the way the powers work. That's
That's
just
right.
it.
Instead, her head
And
basically
so,
popped off. Thank
oh,
God. And then
God.
you see bones here. You see Desert losing like a leg in her torso. Sam's upper body's gone. Like it was all messy. And I get it for the shock value. It was too much for me. And exactly what you said before, it would have been much more, I don't want to say satisfying, but I think it would have been better for the characters, for the audience, if there was a fight. You know
Yeah.
what I mean? Like if it hit and maybe Dazzler threw up a light shield, like Jubilee noticed what happened.
Yeah.
And then Dazzler whoosh, put up a light shield quick. And then the big fight happened and they just couldn't have beat Nimrod. That's okay. And showing maybe one by one them doing their best, giving some attention to these people on the team that were chosen, because they really had no attention. The issue, they were just there to die. So give each one a character moment.
Yeah,
And then
I agree.
it means more, and then it would mean more to us reading the issue versus, yay, they won Slaughter dead. Okay, now
Yeah.
everyone's getting chopped down too fast, too much. I felt it was just, yes, it was a longer issue, and I won't get into it, but I felt the beginning of it focused on a character that I don't think needs to be in the books right now because we have other mutants that we should be focusing on. But I won't get into that because I do like this character. I like this character a lot. I just don't feel
Wait,
like this should be a huge
drag the character.
focus.
Drag the character.
No,
Drag the character.
I like Kamala. I like her a lot.
Oh no, and listen,
I
we
just don't
love
want her
Ms.
here
Marvel.
right now. I just don't want her here in this capacity. I
We
don't.
talk
Too
about
many
this.
other characters.
The thing about Kamala, I have said this. I love Kamala. I love
Me
Kamala's solo
too.
book. I love
Endearing. Love her.
Kamala as an Inhuman.
Yes.
It is so upsetting to me that a character like her is being a byproduct of film rights, of corporate greed.
Yes.
So
Yes.
basically, Kamala is just being like some Marvel, MCU CEO, team member being like, hey, you know what would be really cool if we make Kamala mutant, even though it doesn't make sense. And my
Doesn't make
biggest
sense.
grievance, Mike, is when people are like, oh, but she was originally intended to be a mutant. Well, if we're gonna go based on of how characters were originally intended to be, the Marvel universe would look very different.
Yes.
And if they would have just taken their time to have told a really good Kamala secretly a mutant story, I think it could have
Yes.
landed better.
And
And I
don't
love
like
the Mar
shoehorns.
I
Yeah,
don't like
don't
shoehorns.
shoehorn a character in. Doesn't work.
And
Makes everyone upset.
we had Zenobia, who plays Mama Khan on the
I
podcast.
know. I
We
love
love
her in the
her. We
movie. I
love her
love her in the
so
show. She's so
much.
sweet.
But she kind of in the interview, she was here like, oh, I don't think Kamala being a mutant was there. Initially, it was at the end. You know what I mean? Like that was something that was filmed
Right.
afterwards. But she says, folks at home, disclaimer, she says she doesn't know. Don't take her word for it. But she didn't
Right.
think the mutant thing was there at the end. And when you see the Ms. Marvel series, the Disney Plus series, it is such a good series.
Yes, it
And it
is.
does such a good job of explaining that she's not an Inhuman, but that she is a djinn and her power comes from this family. That's the entire point of the arc. And then at the very end, out of nowhere, some random high school student is like, oh, you have an X gene. And it's like, what? Where did that come
No.
from? Editorially,
First
from a story
surprise.
wise, that does not make sense. So I agree
Agree.
with you.
Agree, agree, agree. Yes. And I
But we
feel
love
like
Kamala in
that
general
we
as a
do love
character.
her. We do love her. And I just feel like it's taking attention away from other characters that have been well established and that really should be getting some spotlight now. Like Dazzler, which of course is my point. But no, a lot of there's a lot of people, there's a lot of characters. So back to Krakoa and Dazzler. So yes, criminally underrated. I felt like if they had done something similar to Utopia Days, that would have worked much better for her in Krakoa. And there was, honestly, you would get little bits of her in other random comics, other characters going, like Spider-Gwen, I think, going to her concert. You know what I mean? Like, oh, Dazzler is actually what they're doing things. They just don't show it in X-Men comics. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Thanks a lot. So we get her back to be killed. And this brings us to what comic that came out today?
Dead X-Men issue one.
Yes, it did. Yes, it does.
Yeah, it's.
What do you think, Paul?
Oh, gosh. I gave a really quick. I gave it like I was waiting for our electrician today. I know you and I have bitched about homeowning before. My water heater, my tankless water heater just randomly broke. So I don't have cold water. Or hot water, excuse me. So I'm waiting, and I was like eating a bagel, and that's when I was like, "Oh man, I read this issue," and I was like,
"You're
man,
already in a bad mood."
We need to do. We need to pivot this episode because one, Dazzler's not really in it, and two,
no,
I did
just there fighting.
I don't know why, but I gave like a really quick 15-minute review where I was like, "This is garbage. I would not recommend this." And I like Steve Fox. I want to be honest.
I love
Steve
him
Fox.
Too.
His X-Men 92 is great. His Dead X-Men. I keep crossing the names. Dark X-Men.
Dark
yes. X-Men and X-Men 92, the one he did, were such good books. And I think when Steve Fox is allowed to be Steve Fox, you get a quality story, quality character development. But I think he had to inherit a larger editorial landscape. He walked in a game of chess and now has to play the game based off of someone else's decisions.
Yes.
But it was garbage. Why is Allison just there? And then we just get like this throwaway line from Allie who's like, yeah, I guess I'm not as immortal as I thought I was.
No, I know.
Yeah, no shit.
No shit. Your appendages came off. They were melted. That's a true story. So I think that I didn't hate it. I think that there was too much crammed into this first issue for setup. I feel I needed more respect to these characters about how they came back. It was so quick. And like the mission I feel like had already started. And then it made me think about two things. Was this already like planned to happen? Like the whole point of this team being chosen for the X-Fo, like was this series already planned that this was being played? And they would just swap out whoever won, whoever, you know what I mean? Maybe,
yeah,
maybe not. I don't know.
No. I don't disagree with you. And the reason why I shook my head just now is because historically we have gotten the losing team having like their one little adventure, right? We had like the secret X-Men and stuff like that.
Yes.
But my thing is, I agree with you because one of the things I said in the very quick review I did of this issue was that like they're not showing any chemistry between the characters.
I was just gonna say that no character is really their succinct character, so that makes me feel like this was may have been planned, and maybe like Juggernaut could have swapped out for Frenzy, or someone could have swapped out for someone else, because no one's having banter really, no one's joking with each other, no one's showing like I know this thing about you.
Yeah.
It's just like Dazzler having this one line, like you said, about oh, I'm not as immortal as I thought it'd be. I got to be careful with that. But nothing else. And like Sam could have been anyone. Jubilee could have been anyone. Anyone could have been anyone.
And especially since Exterminators was such a fan favorite.
Oh, we didn't talk about that. Oh, my God.
Okay, we're bringing it all full circle here.
I know.
But you would think Jubilee and Dazzler would look at each other and be like, ah, oh, this has been a crazy year, hasn't it? You know what I mean? Like, you know,
fighting vamps to dying. To
and get that little wink, wink, nod, nod there. But by the way, I'm sorry. It's been a year since the X-Men vote. It's been a year. They would have had time to plan for this.
It popped up on my feed today, actually. All those really fun, wild ads I was doing for Dazzler, they were popping up on my feed a year ago on Facebook. I'm like, oh my God, it's been a year.
Yeah.
It's been a whole year. Right, so I always wonder with these things, like, was this planned out? Or was it a knee-jerk reaction to everybody loving these characters and then being so virally upset about them all getting slaughtered?
Listen,
it could have been that, but we don't know. We just don't know. We may find out in years to come what really happened. But
I agree.
That.
I just think, like, if I'm putting together a P&L, I used to work in publishing, so this is this is very personal for me. If I'm going to put together a P&L for why a book should exist, it would have to be a little bit more than just like, oh, people on the internet want this book.
Got mad.
Like, I would, if I was the EIC for that, I'd be like, show me something else. But I think, listen, I think we were going to get a story with them, with the losing team. So I agree with you on that.
Regardless,
regardless of anything, but there has been a sufficient amount of time where you could have tweaked the story.
Oh, yeah.
And also, like, I'm really confused by the X-Men vote in general, because I guess formally the winner is Juggernaut, or informally, we've never gotten a true announcement. But I'm going to tell you something. Power of X-Men has called the winner in years before. We called Firestorm and called Polaris. I'm not, you know, a lot of people try to hit me up being like, oh, well, because I'm gay, because I'm a gay man running an X-Men podcast, the people in this community are all gay and they all voted for Dazzler. So our data is somehow skewed. No, I want to say that one of the things that I love about the familia and the community we have here is that we have fans from all walks of life. Whoever you are, however you identify, I don't care. As long as you love the X-Men, we're all here together. And I'm telling you, I know straight bros. Shout out to Ralph from No More Mutants. 500,000 followers. He was voting for Dazzler. Thank you, Ralph. Yeah. So a lot of my bro friends that I know that I talked to on DMs, they were voting for Dazzler. Or other characters, but Dazzler was so clearly the front winner. And of course, if this was something where it was like, you know, 25% of people are voting for Dazzler, 24 for Juggernaut, 23, then you account for that error. No. Yes. Dazzler by a landslide was ahead, and Juggernaut was at the bottom. Conspiracy theories here. I want to see. I'm open to being wrong. I'm open to our data being wrong, but I want to see it. I want
to
see
that's
data.
Right. Show us that data, Marvel. You show that to us. Yeah,
it was rigged.
I know. No. So it's funny you say that. So what that makes me think of more, and I know we messaged a little about this today, is what if she actually did win, which she probably did, but whatever. I'm not going to say yes or no because I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist, like you just said. We'll just go with it. So how would the story have changed? Because if she had won, so I try to think of what do they have Juggernaut doing from then now? So that could have been the perfect scenario of her maybe standing in front and Jubilee maybe giving that warning, and Allison doing something, or at least Jean doing what she did to brunt the impact, and then Juggernaut died, although he really wouldn't in then. So having a big battle ensue, having him die, and having Allison getting captured in the place of Juggernaut. Because I assume, had they been writing these things like Firestar one, that they're just going to do the same thing with that person pretty much. Like, no offense, but we know things are planned ahead.
Yeah,
so,
you have to plan that ahead.
Yeah. So, like, Allison would get she would be the person that would be at Orcus that kept fighting and fighting. And that could have been a great way to bring up her immortality. Like, she keeps getting chopped down in battle. Not that she would, because don't get me started about how many things she can do with her powers that they don't have her do. Like, she could be the ultimate assassin. Okay, so invisible through light refraction or light fog. No sound barrier. She can echolocate people. Read Extreme X-Men Volume 2. That will be explained. She can be undetectable by technology because of photoelectric noise. She can evade Sentinels. Hello! Use that in the comics!
There is a lack...
It's so easy.
Me, you know, so this is a thing that you and I can sit here and we can argue about, like, what should be and what blah, blah, blah. And we could be like the
if we were writing the books.
Yeah, if we were writing the books, which I know, which, by the way, someone told me the other day, it's like, your podcast is basically just saying what would happen if you were writing it. I was like, well, I'm not. And you're like, you're just like every other angry person on the internet. It's like, no. I like to think this is being objective here. We're being objective here where you would organically take these stories, trying your best here. And the one thing that, like, if I was in charge of the Dazzler IP, I would be doing exactly what you just said. But because, like, there's this, like, weird idea at Marvel and in the fan community that comic books are written for 8-year-olds who who need things dumbed down for them. And I will tell you something. When I have been a reader my entire life. I was reading Jaws, the book, when I was in third grade,
God.
okay? I literally, kids, you will get more with honey if you write up to them, like the X-Men animated
Yes.
series.
They can
So
learn too.
write these characters as being smart.
Yes. Yes.
And I've said this before, and I'm going to be really shady in front of you right now. I go to the comic book store. I go to the my local comic book store is in Manhattan. It's the Lower East Side, or excuse me, the FYDI Midtown
Yep.
Comics. I never see any kids there. And I go to a lot
Ever
of the
all
comic books
adults.
down here in Miami. And unless it's like the toy section or toy heavy section, I don't see any kids in the comic book proper sections. All adults. Why aren't you writing smart books, is what I want to know.
Right. I mean, they have the ability, like, they create a lot of these characters' powers with science. Some of them, not so much, they don't make sense. But, like, in Firestar's case, in Dazzler's case, like, they have very specifically mapped these powers out on what they can do, how they work, and how these things translate, and have had them do over the years these little things. So it just makes me feel like you're right. They dumb things down, or they may not even be doing their research. No offense, writers, but you may not be doing your research, or if it doesn't fit into the mold of what they want to happen in that issue, it's just going to be shooting lasers when 900 other things could be done to utilize that person's powers.
Because I love
So.
the idea that Dazzler gets hit by Nimrod, gets chopped in half, but she's still alive and she's kind of
She
going like this.
regenerates.
She
That's
regenerates
right.
and she goes like this. You know, she's like, hell
Yeah.
yeah, you know, to Nimrod.
Yeah.
And then Nimrod has to stomp on her again and
Again.
everything over and over again.
Yes.
And like, oh, we didn't count for this. Bag her up and take her back to Orcus. You know, like,
Yes.
it's
Yeah.
just, it's a
Figure out
lack.
how she's regenerating, and like they were going to do with, sorry to interrupt, like they were going to do with Juggernaut, find out how she's able to do that and to try to take that from her as a plan. And then, hey, Firestar can break her out. It would be the it would have been the same thing, and I think it would have really given credence, and it really would have to all of us Dazzler fans, and it really would have showed this is how powerful this character really is. She hasn't been written this way in a long time. You know, if you read her solo series, I mean, she had testing by Project Pegasus that resulted in she had no limit to her energy projection. None. Hello, hello, people. Let's do something with that, you know. And I get that when she joined Uncanny X-Men, you know, after the Mutant Massacre, that her career bottomed out. I get that she was insecure, and I get that Claremont, you know, sometimes will have that needs an insecure character on the team to slowly build their confidence. I get that. I'm being nice about how I'm phrasing that for her in particular, because she had built so much confidence already in her solo series to be very independent. However, progress. Don't go back. She can do more than lasers and photons, people. She can do so
She
much
can
more.
do more. And I think it's really interesting to see that back in the 80s, she was able to support her own solo series for more
Yeah.
than just a couple issues. We're talking, how many was it?
42! 42!
42.
And a miniseries and a Marvel graphic novel.
Yeah, the Dazzler the movie and
Hello.
Beauty and the Beast. And
Yes.
it's baffling to me now that you can't, in an era where Taylor Swift is the a music a female identifying individual who sings is like the biggest celebrity in the world, that you can't find a way to make Dazzler work in the comics.
They can. They just
And then
don't. They
yeah,
can.
and I'm just like,
Yes.
you know, we should have you and Jim on the podcast because I'd be curious to be
Let's
like,
do it.
because Jim has had a couple of false starts with Dazzler, and I'm curious, it's like,
Yes.
was this pitch just not good enough? Was Marvel not good enough for it? Like, did Marvel not want to do it? I'm curious what on the back end is, you know, why are we getting a book like Dead X-Men? No offense. No offense to Steve Fox,
No.
because we love Steve Fox so much.
Yes, we do. His
But
Firestar work's good too, and his Marvel Unlimited work is really good too.
no, yeah, he's
Yeah.
a fantastic
Yeah.
writer. But I'm
Yes, he
reading
is.
this and I remember thinking to myself today, it's like, okay, so the dead X-Men are resurrected off screen. We don't even know how they were resurrected.
It's very quick.
Now they have to jump from reality to reality to find an alternate universe Moira so they can map Moira's brain to find out where she would be in the past. However, I'm just raising my hand here, raising
You're
my
right.
hand, raising my hand. Isn't it easier For them just to go back into the past to the year Moira was born and find her from
Killer.
there. And
Killer or
because
something.
the McTaggarts would be public people, and because of where the Marvel Universe would be in terms of the sliding timeline, look up the McTaggarts on MySpace. You know what I
Or a
mean?
phone book.
Or a
A phone
Friendster
book.
or a phone book.
That's
Get a fucking
right.
phone book.
That's
Where are the
right.
McTaggarts? Right there. Okay, there's
They
Moira.
come to your front door. Yes.
So right now, this book does not, I see no purpose for this book to exist. Other than now we're gonna have three more issues, which we're not gonna read. And I told you this when you're like, oh, should we cover this book monthly? I'm like, no, because I'm gonna tell you the Fall of X books are garbage. And I say that, and I think Dark X-Men was really great. But like, man, come on. We got it. Like, not all of them can be Dark X-Men, which again Steve Fox wrote, but
Yes.
Dead X-Men, I was like, it's going to be a hit or miss, and it was a miss. For me, it was a miss.
My hope is that it will start coming together. And I know, so my hope by the end of it, of course, is that we have this team back. At least all of them alive, and their mission would not have been wasted. Because I do keep reading that it's very directly tied into the end of Krakoa era. You know what I mean? Like, it's very intentionally, you have to be reading a few other titles and this. To make sense.
Yeah, let's see them
So,
resurrect them in Immortal X-Men or
and give them
wherever,
something
but
to
like.
do. I know, and a lot of people will be like, just give Dazzler her solo series. We know she can sell. So the funny thing is, and I did create a term for this. I don't think anyone said it before I did. If they did, speak up. I call it Dazzler baiting. So for many years, they will put her on covers and solicits for different issues. And she's not in the interior at all, or she has a teeny tiny cameo, but they know Dazzler fans will buy the issue, and
They
we
will
do
riot.
because we can't help ourselves because we love her. And it's like, can't you just, doesn't this just prove that she sells? Like, another thing, so her statue that's way up there that if I take down, I'll drop, that came out, I don't know, a
Don't
year
do it. Don't
ago,
do it.
2 years ago, don't break her. It's just been reissued and it's coming out again this year. I'm like, I didn't even know that these statues got reissued
Oh, is that
because
the one that was just announced? Was that just a
no,
reissue?
not no,
The
they well,
sideshow? Is
because they
that
don't really,
sideshow?
no, that's brand new, and that's I
No.
don't care what that costs, I'm gonna buy it.
Yeah,
If we
buy
have to remortgage the house, I'm buying that. Shh, don't tell Chris, he didn't hear me.
it.
But no, the other one that it's at the like $50 or $60 price point.
Oh, yeah, those PVC
Girl,
statues that are
yeah,
like,
exactly. Yeah, they're kind of light, but that it just got reissued and pre-orders are up again. And I'm like, wait a
Hang on,
minute,
let me
this
check.
already came
I can't
out.
picture
I've
it in
never
my
heard of
head.
that.
Let me go to Big Bad Toy Store and like check
It's up
that out.
there. It is up there exactly. It doesn't
All
drop
right.
until like August. But I'm
Let's
like, wait a
see.
minute. We have been through the
Oh,
period with the
yes,
same
I've seen
statue. You
it.
know that one.
Yeah, I
But
see
I'm
it. It's
like, this
disco.
shows that she sells. So my dream, my pipe dream, that should have happened back in like 1979 with the creation of this character, as we all know our history, or we should if we don't, we're in trouble, is that she should be our multimedia selling megastar character. So we should be having her on our beddings. We should have her pillows, her action figures, her books, her dolls, her everything. Her, I almost said CDs. I still buy those. We should be able to download her music and have CDs in vinyl now. But it will happen someday. I know it will.
Question. As the Dazzler
Yes.
historian here, body
Yeah.
heat. What I have asked around. I've asked the Lee Waltz. I've asked Larry
You
Houston.
know I asked at
Oh, wait.
at San Diego
Oh,
Comic
that's
Con.
right. No, man.
I did.
I don't remember anything. I
I have
remember
a
you asked a
locked and loaded memory.
question.
That's my mutant power. I have a good memory.
I
Yes.
remember you coming up to the mic and asking the question, but I don't remember what it was. I
And
forgot what
people
they said.
cheered for Dazzler.
Yeah.
Yes, they did.
Body heat. Where is it? And Catherine Disher, who is the voice of Jean, our God Queen, voiced her in the animated series. I was like,
Oh,
Catherine
she did the
Disher.
raspy Dazzler smoker.
That's a. My car has seen better days,
I
sweetheart.
know. Come here, Scotty.
Come here.
Dirty Dazzler. What happened?
Oh, God. I just.
So what did she say? Does she have any idea what happened to it?
No,
Because she didn't sing that.
I don't know if
So,
she's saying. We haven't spoken to Catherine Disher herself, but we've spoken to Lee Waltz and Larry Houston. They don't know where it's at. They were just like, it was recorded that day, and that's it.
I
You know?
don't think a full song exists. Like the impression I got, they laughed and they said no.
Yeah.
That's the answer I got. So I just think that they recorded a little segment
Yeah, I
and
agree.
kind of repeated it. And also, Would Dazzler really set herself on fire for love? I don't think that lyric is appropriate for what Alice and Blair would do. Now, I do think a good ongoing joke to always keep with her in the comics is that she has not the best taste in men. Right? So we saw that carry through to Exterminators in fairly hysterical but then traumatic ways. But I think that's something that should stick with her. And I do like people ask me, should she be a long shot again? Who do you want her with? I'm like single all the way. I like
I
my Alistair
agree.
Blair, independent, single, still dating, whatever. But we want her single to be persevering and our powerful, independent lady. That's
Okay,
why I like her.
I'm going to ask you some follow-up questions on
Yes.
Dazzlers. We're going to ask you
Yes.
three really big questions here, okay?
Okay.
One.
And then I have to scoot after three.
Okay,
I do.
Leah Williams writing Dazzler. How did you think Leah Williams did?
She picked up on a lot of great things. She knew she was not allowed to use certain plot points from her past. I had some combos with Leah right before it came out. So I knew there were things that couldn't be discussed. Totally fine. I think she had fun with her. I think that she also brought up some leadership qualities of Allison, like making decisions to, okay, do this, throw these time bombs down the toilet. This is how we're going to get out of here, and we're going to escape this way. I think she had a lot of fun with her. I love the series, as most of us did. Wild, out of control of the top. I would like her to write her again. I would like a Dazzler the Vampire Slayer comic,
Oh, yeah,
which was the
100%.
original intention. I mean, look at her powers. She's
Yeah.
literally meant to kill vamps. So I enjoyed it. And again, what I do think is funny is she made sure that she was endearing with the bad dating optics, like just. Bad. She should have seen all these red flags. Allison didn't, which I think is hysterical. So keep
Okay.
her single because she doesn't know what she's doing dating.
During the Utopian era, we had a one
Yes.
shot where X Factor came to Utopia and Longshot and Dazzler hooked up again. And it was such a contentious thing on the internet because everyone was like, Longshot was using his powers to manipulate Dazzler into sleeping together. What is your take on that?
I don't think he did. I don't think he can with her. I don't think he can
I agree. I
manipulate
don't
her.
think he
I
can
think
with her.
she's like,
And I think she's above that. She knows how his powers work, and he wouldn't do that. Agreed.
yes. Agree. Totally agree. Whether he remembers who she is or not, that would not happen because that has happened a few times. Now, where were you? Or she doesn't remember him. Amnesia.
All right, our final question for the
Okay.
night, and thank you for being here.
Of course.
The offenders. How disappointed were you that the offenders didn't happen, or were you
Oh
relieved?
God, the Hulu show.
The Hulu
Yeah.
show. Were you relieved? Were you like, damn, we dodged a bullet there?
So I was very excited at first, as were many people. And then the preview art with Dazzler holding a martini and making a sourpuss face, I was a little concerned. I'm like, ooh, it's gonna be like a Sex in the City, and she's gonna be the negative. And then finding out Chelsea Handler, who I do love, was writing it and thinking that she may be voicing Dazzler, I was again concerned. And then just there was no news for a
That's
year,
it. Yeah.
year and a half. And then the next news was they submitted like 14, 20 scripts. All of them were thrown in the trash. Everyone was fired to start afresh. And I'm like, okay, let's not have this happen because, yeah. So ultimately, I was excited at the time. Then things transpired, and I think we dodged a bullet. I think it would have really harmed her character if they had her be like the negative Nelly martini sipping. Ugh. Yeah, that would have
Oh,
hurt.
yeah, I got that.
That's right. Sip away.
Michael, where
So.
can folks at home find you?
Where can they find me? So I am on Facebook as Michael Anderson, which. No one can find me as because my name is generic. So we'll skip that one. So on Facebook, you can find Age of Dazzler, and I'll have to have you give them the address because I know you do some like fun graphics after this. And you can just search on Facebook, Age of Dazzler. You'll find us. It's a private group. So there's two questions. Why do you like Dazzler? And do you agree to the rules? Easy. Love her? Yes. Those are the answers. Why?
Yeah,
X-Men? Yes. Easy. You'll get in. Icon? Yes. Easy. You'll get in. And then on Instagram, I am M. How do I even say this? It's not really a word. M Wander. So MWANDERS 4. So on Instagram and also at whatever that Instagram adjacent other app is
Threads.
that I barely ever use. I'm there too.
Same.
And Age of Dazzler is on Instagram, but it's more to say go to Facebook because
Go
that's
to
where all the
Facebook.
content is. Go to Facebook, old school Facebook. That's where the content is. So where else am I? Well, you'll see me at San Diego Comic Con this summer. You
Yes.
better be there. I hope you're there, Paul.
We'll
All
see,
right, we'll
man.
try.
I'll
All right.
try. I'm at the mercy of
It's
bookings, but
tough.
yes, I want to go. I want
Yes.
to go. I love
It's
it
tough.
so much.
It is. And that's where I met you. We went to your happy hour. And
Yes.
yeah. And then what else? Oh, at San Diego Comic-Con, I will be hosting an Age of Dazzler happy hour, as I like to do to every con I go
And I
to. That will
missed
be
it
at
last year,
Sunday at
so I want to make
5.
sure I'm going to stay there long
Yikes, you're
enough.
flying. You're flying away on a Sunday to get back to
Oh,
work.
ugh.
But I have to figure out the location. But it's always very close to the con, so people can
Just walk on
walk
over.
and not even have to Uber, like just five, six,
Walk.
seven, 8 minute walk. Just walk and come on over and have drinks. Maybe there'll be arcade games, depending where it is, and we'll figure it out and have fun and drink and be merry. And there's always trivia with very dazzling prizes, is all I can say.
Ooh.
Yeah.